Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
With the bowl season starting tonight in New Orleans, can you please tell us the key player in this bowl season? Who is the star of this team and whose performance will determine how this season goes?
I like this question a lot because I think there's two answers here. I think that the star of the Bulls is probably Coby White. And that's because he's kind of the last man standing almost, right? I don't think you can say Zach LaVine because I don't think he's going to be on this team long enough. I hope that things work out and I think he'll be their leading scorer, but I think there's been a changing of the guard and it is kind of Kobe's team. Moreover, I think the guy whose performance is going to determine whether they win is not Kobe. I think it's Josh Giddey. I think that there's a reason that they gave up a player like Alex Caruso for a guy like Giddey. They got a player they believe still has growth to him, can get better, can run a team. And if they're going to be good, he's got to be in the Lonzo Ball type role for what they envisioned the Bulls being back when they got DeMar. But DeMar's not here. Vooch, how long is he going to be here? He's an aging vet. Zach LaVine is probably the best player, but I think we've moved on from that in a way. And I think that it's about him getting his reputation back, not that he did anything to lose it, but there are people that believe that he didn't want to play for the Bulls and you know, volunteered for surgery, not because he needed it so desperately, but because he wanted to be traded someplace else. I'm just telling you what the perception is maybe around the league. Do you want that guy on your team? I think he's got to play as well as he can and be the good citizen that he is. He's a good guy. And then if that all happens, he'll be elsewhere.
Are you saying the key player and the performance who will determine the season is the same guy?
No. No, I'm saying the key player is Kobe. It's
okay.
His team.
All right.
But the guy that will determine whether they're successful or not is probably Josh Giddey.
Okay. All right. Good. It's a good distinction.
I think it's Max LaVine. That's who I think.
Must you do that?
Because it's fun. It's true.
It's disappointing, Dustin.
It's disappointing? Why is it disappointing? Because guess what? The answer to my second question is also going to be Max LaVine. Okay? And if we have a Bulls question tomorrow, it's going to be Max LaVine. Because Max LaVine, okay, and it really leads into the second, or it's actually the third question in today's Pick Six, so there's a tease for all you listeners out there.
The question I think we should ask tomorrow is, whose name do you most like mispronouncing or changing? That way it
me
could
or
be.
You?
No, anyone. And then you can come
but
back
Max
with
LaVine
Max LaVine.
Is fun. I mean, it's just fun. It's like Skipper David, right?
Oh. Yes, it is.
Might the White Sox have a Skipper
it
by the time we get
cringe.
Together on Friday?
Because it is derogatory.
Dude, it's not derogatory.
Yes, it is. It is.
He has a max contract.
And if he were living up to it more, you would not refer to him as Max LaVine.
That's why he's the answer to the question.
All right. I think the star of this team is the guy that is a two-time All-Star and Olympian and has averaged more than 20 points a game five different seasons in his NBA career and had been a very good Bull who is easy to mock because of his contract, because he's not lived up to his contract. And I don't know if he's going to be here very long. Maybe the better he plays, the quicker they deal him. But there's no doubt that, to me, the star of this team is a guy that has proven himself that he can be an NBA star. I hope that it's Coby White, but we're doing a lot of wish casting here. I want it to be Coby White because he did take a step to be considered for the most improved player last year. Why did he take that step? Because he was among the disappointing guys on this roster before last season. What does he have to offer now? I think that makes him the key player to me in this season. What is Coby White going to be? Is he going to be an all-star? Or is he going to be a guy that we want to talk ourselves into believing can be an all-star? And I think we're doing a lot of that. So I think Zach LaVine is the star as long as he is in a Bull uniform. Coby White is the key guy. And the performance who will dictate and determine how the season goes? Patrick Williams. Because without DeMar DeRozan stopping the ball on possessions, I think that Patrick Williams will not be standing in the corner making Dustin imitate him. He will be going to the basket and being aggressive. Those are my answers.
Before we go to the first part of the question,
wow,
what made you ask that second question?
Josh Giddey was the highest drafted player of this class to not sign extension before Tuesday's deadline. Giddey reportedly is seeking $30 million per year. Who isn't? But the Bulls want to see more, good or bad decision. What role do you envision Giddey playing on this Bulls team?
First of all, I was stunned to see, and I shouldn't be, but the way the salary cap has risen in the NBA, did you see all the guys who signed those extensions?
Oh, it's ridiculous.
Jalen Suggs, good player, but is he a $150 million player? So these are guys that came into the league with Josh Giddey. Now, none of those guys were passed over by the team that drafted them.
Suggs is kind of a value. Believe it or not.
Maybe that's a bad example. But there are other guys on that list that make you wonder. Because Suggs was an all-defensive player. I mean, he's a very good piece. You're right. Given the marketplace, which I think we're having to consider the marketplace, Josh Giddey probably can get away with asking for $30 million a year. To me, when I saw that, my first thought was Josh Giddey. I don't think that he's worth it. Because he's not a guy that I think goes and says he has to be paid. I like what the Bulls are doing here. They've done it in the past with players. They've let him prove it on the court. Then they risk losing them, but I think that he's probably worthwhile risk to take. Why is Dustin laughing at me?
Josh Giddey? Now, that's derogatory, David. I mean, I'm not the English major here, but Josh Giddey is much more negative than Max LaVine.
It's along the same lines, really.
Zach LaVine greater than Josh Giddey. More proven.
Well, the Bulls better hope not, right? The Bulls better hope not. I think the Bulls want Josh Giddey to be a $30 million player. That's what I think want.
That's true.
But I'm glad they're not paying him, and they probably can't because of the said Max LaVine.
I got to come up with a nickname now. I feel so left out of this conversation. I think Coby Avarice is probably the... Oh, I love it.
Coby Blanco?
Yeah. So listen, and I say this sincerely, Josh Giddey, that's a good move. Why would you reward him because a team that I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Oklahoma City is the second favorite to win the title this year. I think the Celtics are favored to repeat. But Oklahoma City is the kind of up-and-comer and the team everybody kind of likes. And one of the reasons is because they got rid of Josh Giddey and brought in Alex Caruso. So, like, the guy that was running the show there is no longer running the show there. Now you got him. You pay him. We're not going to pay him. Right. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I think we'd all be kind of looking askew if they had paid him without seeing what he can do yet. And frankly, of all these guys, he did not have the kind of preseason that makes you say, pay that man his money in a Russian accent, John Malkovich. I think that this was probably the right move to make, and they've done it before with other people and managed to keep them. It is restricted free agency, so I don't get too worked up over it. I'm curious to see how he looks and what he can do And if he is indeed the type of player they believed they were getting when they traded for Lonzo, they signed Lonzo Ball and then had to give up a pick because they had interfered with him. But let's not get into all that. I do think that the very fact that he's here and that you traded for him would indicate you want to keep him around. But let's see it.
Pay him. Pay that man his money.
Yeah, I think it's a good question.
What did you make of Hoop Hype's list of the top 100 players in the NBA, which included ex-Bulls Jimmy Butler checking in at 23, Lauri Markkanen, 29, DeMar DeRozan, 50, but no Bull in the top 50. Kobe White checks in at 63. Zach LaVine checks in at 67. Josh Giddey checks in at 99. Alex Caruso, 66, and no Vooch.
I love this kind of stuff. I love lists, and I love thinking about lists, and somebody spent some time. What I liked about the Hoops Hype list is that they included other publications and other places and where the guys are ranked, and they ranked in some situations, they ranked guys a little bit higher, a little bit lower, but they're generally speaking all in sort of the same type of range. So I found that to be very interesting. I got to tell you, the Bulls, there are how many teams in the league? And the Bulls don't. I mean, there are teams that have like three guys on them. Guess what? They're going to win titles because the Bulls don't have anyone in the top 50. That's pretty. You got to wait pretty long to get to a point where you finally see a Bulls player. Doesn't mean they can't be successful, but it doesn't mean they're gonna be successful. How do you win a title? You get 2.5 of the best players in the entire association, and if you are not there, then guess what? You're just an also-ran. And frankly, I think that when I look at the Eastern Conference, the Western Conference, you see where the players are, especially in the East. You know where the players are, and you know the teams that are good, and you know the bad teams, and they're all like if everything worked out and the sun shone brightly and everybody developed, maybe they could get to a play-in. Maybe. I mean, there's no middle class in that particular conference. I could tell you the four teams that will be in the Final Four without any doubt.
In the East?
Yeah.
Right now?
It's so easy.
You could.
Saw one last night.
I can't wait for you to do that.
Thank you, buddy.
It's a pretty bad, unfortunate reflection, I think, on the Bulls general manager, this list. His roster is not thought of very well. And again, Zach, Max, LaVine at 67. The 67th guy in the NBA should not be being paid max money.
I can't believe Vooch disrespected to the extent that he was left off the top 100 list. I don't know that Josh Giddey is a guy that deserves to be ranked ahead of a guy that in Vooch at least gives you double-double and has been consistent over the years. I guess I understand a little bit of maybe the easy to overlook factor, but Alex Caruso, 66, higher than Zach LaVine? That's respect. That's respect for the way he plays defense, because having a player that is a well-paid, highly respected role player ranked that high, I'm not sure. So very fascinating. Love these lists. Jimmy Butler, is he still the 23rd best player in the NBA at this stage of his career? Is that too high, too low?
That might be a little high.
It's a little high. I love Markkanen at 29. I think Markkanen is going to be... He's still a pretty relatively young man by NBA standards. And the way that he has bulked up his body, he's going to be around for a while. Plus, he can skate. You see the guy skate? DeMar DeRozan at 50, surprising. But these lists are fun. I hope that everyone's right about Kobe White. I want to be right about Kobe White. If he's the best player on this team, that means things are going well and he has ascended and continued to progress. I wonder if he is the best player on this team. I want it to be true.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
I don't know. That's a tricky question.
All right, here we go. What is your biggest curiosity as the injury report is going to be released later today? You think the Bears are or the Commanders have more writing of the health of the key players this Sunday?
Well, I think, first of all, we have to update people on NFL fans. Breaking news here on The Score presented by BetQL. Smarter bets start with BetQL. Download the BetQL app today. The Chiefs are close to acquiring DeAndre Hopkins from the Titans, according to ESPN. So that's going to be dominating headlines around the league. Here in Chicago, I'm very curious about the injury report because I believe that the Bears could make the argument. I know this is Jaden Daniels. Jaden Daniels is, and Caleb Williams, that's why CBS flexed the game. That's what everybody wants to know about, and that is the biggest headline, certainly his injury status. The Bears have a lot riding on the injury report as well, though. Their whole secondary hangs in the balance. Tyrique Stevenson, is he going to be on? Is he going to practice? Jaquan Brisker, where's he stand in concussion protocol? And is Kyler Gordon working through the hamstring injury? So
sounds like he's out, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah.
So if he's out, if Brisker's out, and Jaden Daniels is out, who are going to miss their players more? You can make the argument the Bears are going to miss the drop-off between those two guys and their replacements is bigger than the drop-off between Daniels and Mariota.
Obviously Daniels, because of the marqueeness of it, they're going to – it's Brisker. Am I going too far out on this Brisker thing? Am I more worried than I should be? I'm very concerned about this. The difference between him and Tua is that Tua, if he chooses to, can change his style of play.
That is a big difference.
Brisker cannot. Brisker's a box safety who has to come up. Now, again, you can say, well, keep your head up. It's easier said than done, okay? Even when he started playing football, you were taught to lead with your face. Your head was up, the helmet was back, but you led with your face. You wanted to put your face through the ball. If you could get that low, that was before the peanut punch. It was putting your face mask on the ball and knocking the ball out that way. Lead with your face. Okay, like if that guy's missing for an extended period of time, especially when they get into division play, that's bad news for the Bears.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I just think that Washington has more at stake with their starting quarterback, their rookie of the year, their MVP candidate, possibly missing the game. I know how good Mariota was. I watched the game. They also played Carolina. You want to talk about whether or not the Bears' numbers are legit and their three-game winning streak, who does it come against? You've got the exact problem going on with the Carolina Panthers. That's a terrible team. And Marcus Mariota looking good while the defense actually scored on him and all that stuff. I don't know, man. I would think that you want your starting quarterback. I understand similar styles and the system and all that stuff, and we played the Terry McLaurin quote and all that stuff. I get it. But there is a hierarchy to starting. There is a priority. This guy is better. He's faster. He's more dangerous. I think if they're without their starting quarterback, you better win the game. You better be able to beat the Washington Commanders if they don't have their starting quarterback, and maybe we find out about his status. I don't know if we will or not. I personally think that that the Bears would be okay for another game if they were without their starting safety. I don't want Brisker to miss the game, but I think you got to do what's right. I don't think we're going to see Kyler Gordon in this game. I don't. I think Tyreek Stevenson will indeed be back, and he will play. I think the Bears have done a really good job, both in terms of roster construction and in terms of coaching, and having a secondary with some depth to it, and that we're seeing that a little bit. So I think that they would be able to get through another game without all of their starting players, because that's not an area where they are particularly without, right? I mean, this would be then, what, the 10th start for Elijah Hicks,
yes,
if indeed that, yeah, happens. And I'm not...
That's a good point.
I'm not being happy about them being out. I'm just saying it's different, the guy that touches the ball on every play.
To be continued.
That question remains...
That's the voice of Chris Chelios. He'll be with you guys at 8:44 this morning. What did you make of the Blackhawks on Tuesday night over at the UC and their game against the Canucks, who were coming in for a fourth game of a four-game road trip? You would think they would have been tired. Do you think Luke Richardson's tough love is working?
You know, I don't want to make any kind of assessment yet as to whether it's working or not working. I think he's like a hard-nosed, good hockey guy, and I think I like a lot of what he's done, but I got to see that team get better. The problem when you change your team, the problem when you bring in guys, it's twofold. One, they got to learn to play together and they got to develop some chemistry, and maybe they haven't had enough time for that. Two, expectations rise. You expect more from the guys now than the guys a year ago. So this isn't good enough. You thought they would get a little bit better. This isn't good enough. They need to get better, and they need to do it in a hurry because the season's already underway. So I would say I didn't think they were going to be winning cups this year, but I did think we would see a different team, a more mature, a more professional outing, and I'm not there yet. So I'm a little bit surprised by that. And frankly, you know, living up to expectations is as important as anything that a coach can do.
So that tough love came when the Blackhawks coach decided to bench Philip Kurashev. Mm-hmm. Now, see, that's how does he respond? That'll be the key. And then we can see if that worked. Can he bench the defenders? I mean, again, I am not Joe Hockey. That's David. David knows the game. I wish I knew as much about hockey as David does. Like, but to me, watching the first period, the goals were just too easy last night. A couple
sloppy
of power plays.
Sloppy.
They just looked, you know, you would expect that from the Canucks based on the question, right? They should have been the sloppy team. They should have been the tired team. They look like the team. The Canucks look like a team playing at home instead of the Blackhawks, and that's disappointing.
They looked like the team that well-rested, positioned to make a step this year. The Canucks did look like a team headed somewhere. The Blackhawks look like a disappointing outfit right now. Two straight home losses after an encouraging start to the season. This is not good. The frustration that Connor Bedard showed on the bench, slamming his stick after another failed power play, that was palpable and it was relatable, because it's frustrating to watch the Hawks play as sloppy defensively as they did last night, giving Peter Mrazek not really much help in front of them, and these are guys who should know better, and turning the puck over, Connor Murphy, Seth Jones, these guys should be better, and let's hope they could turn things around, because Luke Richardson is trying to get their attention. It's early to make these kinds of moves, but it's on brand for him. But this was a bad loss, and they've got a big opportunity when the Preds come in Friday night. They've got to win at home.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
And with the World Series still 2 days away, what's the favorite ex-Chicago player connection, and does it affect who you'll be rooting for in the World Series between the Yankees and the Dodgers?
I think this is a gimme unless you're Sox fans of who are looking at Michael Kopech, but Anthony Rizzo playing first base for the Yankees in the World Series, it makes you look at, if you're a Cub fan, it makes you look at him and like wonder and evaluate. You're happy for him, right? Right? If he wins a World Series, that's going to be great for him, right? Maybe? Does it mean more to him this time because it's later in his career than the first one in 2016? He wouldn't dare, would he? No? I mean, you have all kinds of questions. But I'm glad for Anthony Rizzo that he's in this situation. And I love Carlos Rodon, too. He was one of my favorite White Sox pitchers of the past decade because of the way he attacked hitters. Both of those guys are in Yankee uniforms. I am rooting for the Yankees. I determined that last night, thinking about it a little bit more. I'm not a big fan of Dave Roberts. I don't know why. I'm just not. And I do like Aaron Boone. I remember Aaron Boone as an analyst during the Cubs' 2016 playoff run. He worked for ESPN. He was in the booth during the postseason here or there, and he was always a very nice guy. He would talk to people that he didn't know very well. He would explain the game. I really like Aaron Boone, and I'm not a big fan of Dave Roberts. Go Yankees.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to root against Anthony Rizzo if you're a Cub fan. I don't blame Anthony Rizzo. I had no problem cheering him, and he landed in the best spot, and it's worked for him. He's had a tough year. He's had some injuries. He's still dealing with finger injuries. Yeah, you root for him for sure. But going back to Michael Kopech, who's one of the White Sox that I kind of rallied around, if you will, and like, don't forget, and it didn't do anything wrong. It's just, you know, it's football first, and the Bulls are starting in the black. I mean, he started the game when they clinched the pennant.
Yeah.
He started the game
because
he's versatile enough, and they needed a guy. He's obviously started in the past. You know, here's the question. Is he going to be out? If he's out there saving a game that clinches the World Series for the Dodgers, that's going to be a pretty cool story. Like, I could get behind that story. And then with the unfortunate news overnight and this morning that Fernando Valenzuela passed away, like, you kind of want the Dodgers to win because of that story and the connection to 1981. I don't think, with being a Cubs fan, I'm fine either way. I want a good series. I want it to be competitive. I want it to go six games. And it'd be great if one of the Chicago guys had a real role in deciding the outcome.
Yeah, I disagree. I don't want the Chicago guys deciding the outcome, frankly. That's just me. If I have to take someone, I'll take Anthony Rizzo. I thought he was a good Cub, and he did a good job here. And I think it would be great for him to get another World Series. And it would, you know, it's hard to believe that so many of those guys didn't really do anything in their career after that 1 year. It is just, if you just take a look at the starters on that team and pick apart where they wound up and what happened. It just seemed like a team that was going to be winning for years to come. At the time, we thought, wow, look at this group that they've produced. Look how young they are. They don't even know how young they are. And then what happened is it's unfathomable. I thought that they had a player that was headed to the Hall of Fame on that group. I really did. When a guy comes up and he's the MVP and he's the Rookie of the Year, and you wait, we all watched him. It didn't matter whether you were a Cub fan or a Sox fan. A guy that was hitting home runs in the minor leagues. Didn't you think?
You did. And now Rizzo's playing with three guys who likely will be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I would take Rizzo, and I guess what I'm saying is I'm taking the Yankees, which I can't believe I'm saying that, but I think I'm taking the Yankees. And I think that one of the things I really like about this World Series, and we'll see, is like what happens to Juan Soto, right? Mm-hmm. What becomes of him? What happens to Jack Flaherty? Where could he wind up in free agency? I just think that there's some interesting stories that everyone might want a little taste of. I love Carlos Rodon, but they let him go a while ago, and it's nothing recent. The Kopech thing, I can't get on board with that story. I'm sorry. It doesn't do much for me. So I'll take Anthony Rizzo.
All right.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw. We've got the extra point next.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC's senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.